It's a pleasure to welcome back Bill Murphy from the Gold Antitrust Action Committee. Of course, he works with Chris Powell, just blowing the whistle, if you will, on all of the market manipulation, and we've sure heard a lot of that lately. Before the show, we were talking about Anarchapulco. This is, of course, the big meeting of Jeff Berwick in Acapulco, and you know, doubled in size this year, 1,500 folks. I understand you've been there in the past.
Yeah, I was there last year and gave a presentation, and at that point, the crypto people were all excited because the price of gold, of Bitcoin, had just reached gold at $1,240. And, of course, it was just beginning its incredible surge higher, and they were ecstatic. Then this year, I can't imagine what the move would have been like.
You know, the volatility over 20,000. Actually, I read one article that said that in South Korea, it touched 26, 27,000 due to illiquidity before plunging under 6,000. That's all. In a few weeks' time, a nice little recovery lately. What we think's going on here is the anticipation of the Lightning Network. You may have heard of this, to try to vastly speed up the transactions of Bitcoin, as well as lower the fees, which is it's almost instantaneous, unlike Ethereum and Bitcoin, which have been bogged down. They've actually been punished for growing and their own success. It doesn't scale up. An interesting project, EOS, called the Ethereum Alternative. This Dan Larimer is at the head of it. He's created, you know, Steemit and so many others. He pops out a new project every year, then moves on to the next project. So we're kind of hopeful that this is going to clean up the crypto space. Back to gold and the precious metals. You say there was a strong interest by folks at Anarchapulco?
Well, no, they were just excited about what was going on. And quite frankly, most of the gold crowd, including myself, was disgusted at what was going on in gold. And that was, again, at 1240 and a year ago. And here we are at this much further along the way, and you look what's happened to their sector and what they've done, and where gold and silver are still mired along here. So it's just the contrast is what struck me. And as I said, this year I didn't go, but it would have been, yeah, it's corrected. But, you know, we would love to have gold correct to 12,000.
That type of volatility in the crypto space we just saw the last 2 months, people were looking around saying, where else could I park some of these funds? Something more stable. And what held its value? You know, throughout all of it, gold. And I heard Peter Schiff debating on Bitcoin. He's not a big fan of the cryptos. And he points out whether or not there's value here, we're not sure yet. But he says we are sure. There is an incredible multi-millennial track record of wealth preservation in the precious metals. You can call Bitcoin digital gold all day long, but in the final analysis, when the stuff really hits that oscillating device, precious metals, that's the go-to asset class.
I think we've got some spectacular moves coming that are going to surface out of nowhere. It's just the recent period of years is taking its toll on the sentiment, and it's been very difficult, and the action in the shares has just been dreadful. And it's all going to change, and we can't wait for that change to come. I know it's coming, but it certainly is taking longer than most of my colleagues and myself thought would be the case.
I want for the crypto folks, which tend to be very young, I would be a senior citizen in that group. I wish that they could wrap their minds around the fact that gold, unlike fiat money, unlike dollars, it's sort of the Swiss Army knife in the currency world, in that, yes, it's a store of value, but it also has all of the versatility of a commodity. I mean, of a really useful, amazing commodity, in particular, silver. If someone in the gold crowd could sort of put their creative cap on, spin up an article on the versatility of silver, really has a lot of the characteristics of Ethereum, or, you know, some of these other highly versatile cryptocurrencies, with the added benefit of we're not expecting any really scary legislation. I mean, any day we know the central bankers will have their minions drop the axe on the whole crypto space. You know, it's going to be a war of attrition, I'm sure. Diversification from crypto into precious metals at discounted prices. Gold and silver, they have a track record of safety, but they're also really useful.
Especially for the people there at that conference a year ago, and it made a fortune to take some of their money out and put it in gold and silver. It makes all the sense in the world, and I'm sure some of them are actually doing that. I've heard that to be the case. So yeah, it makes total sense. And again, I wish those vested in that sector, you know, well as can be. I just want our sector to get going again and show some excitement because, you know, we just haven't had any in so long. People forget put some great moves in the precious metals are like.
This time last year, Bitcoin was around 1,000 and now over 10,000-ish. And you can procure nearly 10 gold coins for what was only one gold coin a year ago. Just a great opportunity to lock in those gains. And Peter Schiff also pointed out the importance of recognizing that, yes, gold might seem a little boring, but, you know, these 70% drops in a crypto really makes gold look tame by comparison. If we have another big swoon, wouldn't you like to have something more solid?
I hate to say this, but silver has dropped the same amount. It just took longer, of course. The crypto thing happened very quickly. But silver's gone down, you know, 70%. I'm as super bullish as you can get about what's coming. It's just, it's taking its toll. It's been horrible. Contrast to the thing. So it's understandable why the sentiment in our sector is so bad and why people are running to something else, some alternative asset that's moving, it's doing something. As you know, where I come from in this, it's all because of the gold cartel and what they've done to suppress the prices of gold and silver. Do I think that's going to change and be dramatic, as I mentioned earlier, happen out of nowhere? Absolutely. It's just keeps going on and on.
You know, we were also talking earlier about the importance of preparing for the unexpected. For instance, we discussed the Carillion disaster in recent weeks where investors saw their shares plunge in a very brief period of time. Of course, this is a British construction company that was tied in with the government, 95% of its value to virtually nothing. We also saw the volatility index. Of course, this was a Swiss ETF, exchange-traded fund, ETN, that lost about 95% of its value in just a couple of days as the idea that stocks only go up suddenly evaporated. Financial engineering catches people off guard, putting the eggs all in one basket. Maybe that's a good segue into the importance of the yellow metal as a diversification tool.
I mean, I think it's anybody who's prudent would do something like that, and it certainly makes sense, you know, to have some of the assets in the gold and silver, precious metals. And obviously, I'm a major advocate.
We've had such stability, haven't we, here, I think you'd agree, in North America with surprising currency resiliency compared to, let's say, certain Asian countries. According to Gata, China's growing affluence of its consumers has led to just roaring demand for gold, bracelets, rings, jewelry, and, of course, investment demand. And they've linked this, at least in the article, to the property boom and the really high stock valuations stemming from Beijing. And here in the U.S., you don't hear the call. Take some of those stock profit, take some of the Bitcoin and roll it into something more tangible. You could make a case that we've had such stability in our currency, but that never lasts. Should we be expecting more of the status quo or preparing for something more rocky with the greenback?
Well, I think what just happened in the stock market a couple of weeks ago is like a tremor, before an earthquake of what's coming in terms of volatility and market action and so on. And yes, I think things are going to get very volatile, and like they have been, it's going to create a lot more concern. Right now, as you've just mentioned, I mean, there's reason there's not much interest in the West. Gold and silver, there's no fear. Things just go along no matter what. The stock market goes up. I've said it very recently, just doesn't correct. Other assets just keep going up. And gold and silver just sit there. And that's the problem. And it's created complacency. And as you mentioned, you know, over in these other countries, you know, they're thinking differently than we are, and they're taking advantage of these cheap gold and silver prices and buying them.
What we see here is the fear, uncertainty, and doubt is immediately reversed in stocks with FOMO, the fear of missing out. Just the opposite in the precious metals. We have nothing but FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt, and a just complete lack of FOMO. No one is afraid. And again, this ties in with this idea that the attention deficit investment disorder, that's what I'm calling it. Isn't that what really led to the FOMO that took us to 20,000 Bitcoin just before it collapsed? You know, it's this fear of missing out, but we don't have that in the precious metals. If we could craft a contrarian indicator today, what an interesting indicator that would be. The markets where there's tons of FOMO, watch out, be careful, I guess man the lifeboats, but where there's virtually no fear of missing out, like we're seeing in the precious metals, maybe it's time, you know, to take another look there. As we wrap up here today, another interesting story from China. They were waiting a quarter century for their yuan oil futures contract to start trading. Pricing crude oil, which they obviously need tremendously for their economic growth, and it's no longer in U.S. dollars. That would seem to, I guess, be a challenge for the greenback, which is struggling to maintain reserve currency status. Any thoughts?
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly it could be, you know, a very important development, and I think it's March 26th. It's scheduled to come into being, and we'll have to see. As I mentioned, that bothers me is that all these things that we've heard about over the past years that are going to make a difference in the gold market, they haven't meant a thing. It's all because the gold cartel is able to get around it. I mean, one day they're going to, and I think collectively all at once, they'll all mean something, and it'll be overwhelming, and the bad guys will be forced to run. So I'm hoping that this makes a difference, like other people that are bullish on the precious metals, and we'll just have to wait and see. It's nice to be pleasantly surprised.
As you say, it takes time for a market to build up momentum. Maybe it has to accumulate these positive stories, such as the one we just mentioned, as well as another one this week that Idaho's state Congress actually agreed to exclude capital gains and losses on the sale of precious metals, coins, bullion, and whatnot. We've heard similar legislation, as you mentioned earlier before the show, in states like Utah, Arizona. And interestingly, Arizona in the past week or so also agreed to accept cryptocurrencies as legal tender to pay taxes.
Yeah, it has been a struggle, and I don't mind saying so, but I think we've got an explosion coming out of nowhere for gold and silver. It's going to be rank way up there with the crypto movements. It's just taking forever to develop. But once the cat's out of the bag, as they say, watch out. And I think the real key, which has been something I focused on for a while now, is $21 silver. If it can take that out, I think it can make a move up towards 100 faster than most people can imagine. But signs of life, and then we could be off to the races.
The interesting comments made by Peter Schiff recently, not on this show, but, you know, we're looking at the potential for the slow decline in the greenback to sort of reach a moment, a tipping point, where it simply capitulates, where we see 1987-style asymptotic decline. That could be one of the drivers, I think, that leads to the scenario that you've outlined. Could you tell us more about La Metropole Cafe and how we can sign up?
Sure. Well, people can sign up for a two-week free trial and see if it's of interest. I write about the gold and silver markets and cover financial markets to some degree, and been doing it nearly 20 years and love what I do. Chris Powell does a great job, my colleague at GATA, and at www.gata.org, and people can sign up and see what he puts out all the time. He does a great job. He's going to be on his way to Asia next month to a couple of countries to spread the gospel about GATA and be on CNBC over there and try to stir things up a bit.
All right, Bill Murphy, thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Good to talk to you.